Reach out your hands to Jules. Let's pray for him. Lord, we thank you for Jules this morning. We thank you, God, for what he's heard you say. We thank you for your word that's going to be preached now. We thank you, God, as it goes out, it's going to be seed that falls upon good soil. And we thank you, you're going to use him this morning, that your anointing, Holy Spirit, is going to be upon him, that you're going to give him the words that you want to say, that you'd cause his mind to be directed by your thoughts and by your plans as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Kev. I'm very excited this morning to be sharing with us. Just give me a few minutes. My mouth is a bit dehydrated. I blame that on Yaku. Yeah. Milkshake before the service is not a good idea. Or iced coffee. Cool. My name is Yurik. I am one of the elders in Joshua Generation, part of the EdgeMed AM team. I'm married to that beautiful young lady that there she's standing at the back over there, who I am so in love with. So in love with. I just had to put it out there. And I've got a beautiful daughter by the name of Lily Ann. She is around. And so I'm just part of the team, and I'm so excited and so grateful to be able to share a Christmas message. So, and I think just before we get into that, I didn't tell Kevin, but because I kept this opportunity for me. I want to wish my mom a happy birthday. She's sitting at the back over there. It's her birthday today. So awesome. Looking beautiful as ever. Thank you. And, just thinking about Rudy and Dalray. Is that the name? I just need to remember. Dalray, eh? There is a scripture where it says, teach your child in the way of the Lord so that when they grow up, they will not depart. And so depart doesn't mean that you don't backslide, because even for me, my mom, she brought us up in the ways of the Lord. And there has been times where I've backslid as a youngster, or just when I committed my life to the Lord. But because she had taught us the way of the Lord, something was instilled inside of us. And so no matter where I found myself to be, there was this holy reverence for God within me. And so whatever place I found myself to be, I knew that this is not where I'm supposed to be. And it helped me come back to the Lord. Funny story, how she did it though was a different way. I wouldn't maybe recommend parents to do it this way. You know, it was more of a turn or burn sort of thing. You know what I mean? You're going to go anyway. And funny story, before I get into my preach is, so my brother and I, we shared a room and we were very naughty. And what she did was, you guys remember, I think it was probably in the early 90s or late 90s, they used to have this very religious sort of pictures of Jesus, you know, head leaning a little bit this way with a heart open and, you know, and you guys know that picture? No? Anyway, so we were very naughty, and what she did was she actually placed this picture of Jesus in our room. So when she was at work, she knew that if we're going to be catching our nonsense, Jesus is watching us. And I remember one day, I mean, we were, like I say, we were naughty, and I used to smoke weed, and I was busy cleaning this weed, and as I looked up, I was like, right there, bro, like in my face, and I just like, I'm so sorry, Lord. Face the wall, you know? And but actually, it was wisdom, because she also left the Bible over there, which just picked up dust for so many years. But the day that I committed my life to the Lord, I was completely on my own. Nobody led me to the Lord. Went into my room, just cried out and asked God, are you real? And what do you think was the first thing that looked at me? Picture of Jesus and the Bible. Opened it up, and it's like I never understood the Bible, but as I read it, the Holy Spirit spoke directly into my heart. And so for all parents, I want to encourage you. Even if it looks like, man, I don't know where my kid is going, just seems like they're never going to serve the Lord, that scripture says, you bring them up in the ways of the Lord, and one day they will not depart. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to share a good news sort of message this morning. I'm very emotional, so I'm hoping that this morning we're not going to weep. If we start to weep, just tell me, Eureka, sit tight for Haley. Okay, it's time to rejoice. All right, so You know, I love the way God sets up things. Any of you guys like action movies? I love action movies. I watch this movie Taken. And he says something to his daughter that, you know, you go like, why would he do this? But there's an end result that was going to be good. And so these guys break into the house and she's under the bed and she's panicking. And all that she can think of is, I'm going to call my dad now. So she calls the dad, and this is like the tip of the movie, like, because from there things begin to unfold. And everything goes quiet. And he says, listen here, I want you to know. They're going to come into the room and they're going to kidnap you. And I'm thinking in that moment, like, how must you feel? And then he turns around. Well, not turns around. And then he says, but don't worry. I'm going to come for you. And I think quite often the gospel is like this. We live in a fallen world. And it's like, hey, listen, you are going to face persecution. You are going to face difficulties. But there's this hope that our action hero, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to come for us. Now, I'm not going to be speaking about trials and tribulation. That's why I say let's focus on the joy side of it. But I just thought I'd put that out there. Okay. So, Christmas is a time when we all celebrate. Whether you're celebrating it through a pagan way with the Christmas trees and the presents. I'm not saying that's the pagan way. I'm just saying where you're not focused on Jesus. Everybody celebrates it somehow or another. All right? But we need to understand why this is such a massive celebration. Why for us as believers, like, this is so important to understand that it's a good news message. It's one of the first messages that the angels brought when Jesus had just been born. Glad tidings. In other words, man, we've got to be those right now who are so filled with celebration and joy. And people should actually question, why are you in such a good mood? And I know that our joy is not based on moods. I mean, Kevin shared brilliantly the difference between happiness and joy. But it's our opportunity to declare Jesus the Savior. That's the one difference between any other religion is our foundation is built on the foundation of Jesus. A very God in all of his nature coming down and living on earth among us. You know, I watch these Greek movies because I like action movies. So how they elevate these gods and, you know, and then I think about the true and living God. And I'd come and dwell among us. I mean, can you imagine when the disciples understood who this Jesus was, how confident they must have been. And they were. I'll unfold it a little now because they almost become sad in one part where he says he's going to depart. It's like, you know, you coming with your group and, hey, we've got Charlene outside. You know, Charlene's the tallest guy in our congregation. So it works like that. They either pick on the very shortest or the very tallest or the very boldest. You know? So, you know, and then we come and we're like, yo, does this guy know that we got a God on our side? And the disciples had that sort of confidence. Anyway, all right. So everybody's celebrating Christmas one way or another. But for us, it's really a place of joy. And joy is such an assurance, such an assurance. Colored accent coming out. Such an assurance within our hearts to know that the confidence that we have is this. And this is what I hope that I'll leave. Is that if there's anything that we leave with today, that the joy that you have in your heart is this. That I've got this gift of salvation. That there was a God who looked at the world and knew that we are perishing. With all his heart sent out the Savior, Jesus Christ, his own Son. And that through him, all the world will live. And if you believe in him, like, man, there's three things that you can rejoice in. That your sins are forgiven. No matter how big or how small. That we've been restored into a relationship with the only true and living God. Pause on that. Only true and living God. How many times don't we sit in our offices with our bosses and we're so terrified of a mere man that is only overseeing one company really. And then you got to go like, no. I serve living God. Get intimidated by things that are happening in this world. And sometimes we just need to pause and realize like, man, I'm in a relationship with the living God. Lord, I don't know how to restore this marriage. And you got to go, God, I can't do this, but I serve a living God. My wife, myself, we've been made by your own hands. You can take that heart and just turn it like that. Make us fall in love again. You got to pause at times, people, family, friends, and just remember that we serve a living God. But it doesn't end there. The last thing I want to remind us of is that we're going to spend eternity with Him. You know, I spoke to a customer of mine. He's from South Africa. He moved to the United States, stayed over there for about 20 years. And he said, I asked him, how's it to stay in the States? You know, I always see, watch movies, and there's this pool where I just want to go see, is it really like that? And he says, Yurik, one thing about the people in the United States, they celebrate big. But they completely live on events. There are so many events throughout the year that you can see immediately, a day or two after the event, everybody is miserable, quiet. And then about 2 weeks later, there's the build-up for the next event. So it's St. Peter's Day, Thanksgiving Day, June the 4th day, whatever that is, Halloween. They build on all these things. And so everybody's so excited, like, ah! But the moment it ends, it just disappears like that. And I thought, man, I don't want to live like that. I want my joy to truly overflow all the time because I have this blessed assurance. Amen. Okay. Let's get into the scripture. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. So this is now in Israel, and Isaiah is busy writing prophetic words, and we need to understand that when Isaiah, any of the prophets after kings, Israel, they're in turmoil. God is trying to warn them, trying to deliver them. They're rebellious. And in the midst of all of this, Isaiah writes this prophetic word. But the prophetic word is really speaking about a Savior that is to come. And so I really want to give us some background so that we understand just how important it was for Jesus to come. And Isaiah chapter 7 verse 13 to 14 says this. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary a man that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which really means God with us. And so Rian shared so well last week. He spoke about how Jesus had come and just twisted and turned everything upside down and painted this picture so that he could relate with us. And what he did was he broke like certain traditions so that everybody could almost feel accepted by God. So we had a 13-year-old, I still don't truly know the age, but let's keep it as 13, a 13-year-old girl, never ever slept with anybody, being birthed through the Spirit. And so people's worlds already over there are turned upside down, and there's almost like this little signs like, hey, God has got to be involved, because the things that are unfolding, it's completely miraculous. There's no way it could have been done by a man in any way. All right, so that's the scripture. Now I'm going to read the proper Christmas scriptures. And the first one is going to be in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. Look to your neighbor and say, good news. Good news. With great joy. Not joy, great joy. My wife always says, my R's are so strong. Great joy. All right. That will be for all the people, not just Israel. For unto you is born this day, out of the city of David, a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, or suddenly there was a multitude of angels and hosts praising God and saying, glory be to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with him who is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Just want to go back to that verse over there. I think it's 11, 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. All right, next one that I want to read is out of Matthew 1, verse 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Do not take Mary as your wife, for which is conceived is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from all their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Then the story continues, and then we hear about the wise men. So let me just jump to that. I didn't give it to you, but it's fine. I'll just read it. It's from chapter 2. And it says over here, for we saw the star, and it rose, and it came, and we've come to worship him. This is the wise men are speaking to Herod. And Herod heard this, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where is the Christ to be born? They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained to them from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent to them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when they found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. There's a common theme. Anybody? I like this congregation. Always ask great questions. Great joy. So, in the midst of all the trouble, God had provided a prophetic word, and the prophetic word was being fulfilled. And so these shepherds and these wise men, they had this revelation where they understood, like, hey, this is actually the prophetic word being fulfilled. And so can you imagine the excitement that was about to arise? And I'm going to tell you why the excitement was about to arise. When these prophetic words were given through Isaiah, through Daniel, all the prophetic words that were coming through, as I made mention to you, Israel was in great turmoil. You need to understand that once upon a time, they were a great nation. So under David, they were untouchable, unstoppable. And man, through Moses as well, going against the Egyptians, God had given them signs and wonders one after another. But just like all human beings, we tend to depart from God. And the heart of God, because he's not a God who manipulates and he's not a God who will force, even though he's so powerful, how do you like that? Out of all creation, he gives us free will. And I think it's the most beautiful thing. Because I never want my daughter or my wife to feel forced to love me. But if they respond like, yo, that's the best, like, daddy, I love you. It's too small to say that right now. Just, but I believe it means, daddy, I love you. You know what I mean? And God is exactly like that. He goes like, out of all creation, the sun, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. The moon does exactly what it's supposed to do. And what we do is we're so in awe of these things and we say, wow, look at this. Magnifies and glorifies the Lord. And I think, yeah, that is so true. But the best thing that glorifies God is a creation that responds out of free will. God, I love you. When that happens, I'm telling you, you move the God of art. The God of arts. You move God's art. It's something where he goes like, you know, I've never forced you into this relationship. But you've tasted and you've seen that I'm good. And there's something inside of you that no matter what life looks like, your heart goes, God, in spite of, I love you. In spite of my kids not serving you right now, I'm going to love you and I'm going to trust you. In spite of the difficulties that I'm facing at work, I'm going to love you and I'm going to trust you. In spite of the last slice of bread that I have in my cupboard, Lord, I'm going to love you and I'm going to trust you. And when we do that, we really move the heart of God. And so there's this people and they're serving the Lord and they this mighty nation and they become disobedient and they rebel. And they rebel. And God is merciful. We're talking about generation after generation. And all that is saying through the prophets is, repent, turn, come back to me. Don't go out there. And he's not doing that because, like, you know, like he wants the soldiers to come and salute him. No, he's doing it because he's going, I am so in love with you. And you know how it feels that when you're in love with someone, you don't want them to be harmed in any way. And that's God's heart. And he's looking and he's going like, please return to me. And they just continue to live life their own way. And eventually they get captured. They get overthrown. And then generation for about 300 or 400 years, that is what it speaks about. They are suppressed. They are oppressed. They are being held captive. It's not the Romans, it's the Greeks. Actually, the Romans were the last, but I mean, it's Greeks, it's Babylonians. And so for 400 years, there's no sign of God. There's no prophetic word. There's nothing. And so now the people of Israel, they become awake because they're like, yo, we might as well be dead. There's no God. I think we are so blessed. We don't understand what it's like to not have a God among us. You know, I was at work the other day and I decided, you know, let's do a secret Santa. Because I came into this team, I started over there a few months ago, and it felt so disunified, and felt like the Lord say, everything that you're going to do besides selling cards over here is you're going to show them what it's like to be unified. And so I do little things, and I honor one another, and when somebody want to bad chat or talk bad about one of the other sales guys, I turn it around, and I help them see the good in others. And I'm not trying to gain goodie points, I've just been obedient to the Spirit. And then we did Secret Santa, and the guys were... Yo, I've never seen guys like that so happy. Honestly, I mean, it's guys buying gifts for one another. Like, yo, see what I got? And somehow there was just a sense of joy. And then they asked me, Yurik, will you pray? And believe me, this week has been a difficult week, so I wasn't filled with faith. But I knew, like, God, what an opportunity, and I prayed. And after the prayer, you know, continued. We're doing the Secret Santa thing, and a little later the day, just so one by one they come, they say, oh, when you prayed, I became emotional. Honestly, someone else again, yo, bro, when you prayed, I got like feelings. And I'm thinking, if this was community, they would have said, ah, this guy's not in a good space. I'm telling you, those people are so hungry for Jesus. The world is dehydrated. You give them a drop of water and they'll accept it. I gave them literally a drop of water and they were like, yo. And I thought, God, now this is opportunities now for me to be able to really share the gospel. And I really want to say, put yourself out there. Put yourself out there. Anyway, so here's this people. They are drifted away. They are desperate. They are lonely. And all that they have is memories about this God that we serve. And so what happens when there's no God around? We become delusional. We start thinking, okay, maybe I need to do something to find God again. And so we have this group of Israelites that become this one group, and we all know them. They call the Pharisees. And actually, I began to respect the Pharisees because their mission was putting in all these laws only so that they could make sure that they're not any longer under the judgment of God. So they go like, man, we're under God's judgment. We need to make this right. Israel, repent. And in our repentance, we're going to put out the law like we're not going to be working on the Sabbath day any longer. And then one of them go like, no, but listen here, God is, he's so serious. So they say, okay, we're not even going to spit on the Sabbath day anymore. That's how desperate we are to be obedient to you, God. And at the end of the day, they've got all these laws, but the motives of their heart for having these laws is this, that they were desperate to have God among them again. And so when I read the stories of the Pharisees, I go, yo, I can only understand how much they longed and they missed God. So they had all these laws, but it was for this very reason, just so that they could fall away from the judgment again, judgment of God again, and be in this relationship. And then, of course, some of them became delusional. And they said, no, I think that we just need to live right. And there isn't an eternity. There isn't a heaven. There isn't a hell. We must just live as best as we can. And they were called the Sadducees. And I think like, imagine becoming so delusional that you even fall away from this truth that there's no eternity. I think like, yo, how prophetic was that word that they called themselves the Sadducees? Because they were sad, you see. I know some of you guys heard that one, but I just thought that is such a good line, eh? They were sad, you see. Thanks, Nikki, I heard that, bro. Okay. So can you imagine? So this is the story. This is where we're at the moment. Now do you understand why this prophetic word was so profound and so such a joy? So now we've got this prophetic word, and these wise men and these shepherds, they are Israelites, and they're going like, man, the Messiah has been born. And so they go 400 years, finally over. Finally, the oppression from the Romans, the oppression from the Babylonians, the oppression from the Greeks, like, Jesus is coming to get you now. And so they build around this thing, and they're celebrating. And I think we can learn a lot from the Israelites. I want to say for us as believers that this should be the very motive that we celebrate. That the Savior has come. That oppression of sin that Paul speaks about, and he goes, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't end up doing. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. Who can save me from this wretched life? And he ends up and he says, Jesus. And I want to say for us over here today, you might be facing sin issues in your life. And there's this desperation plea within your heart where you're going, God, like, I am so sick and tired of living a life that is not pleasing unto you. And I just don't know how to get it or get out of this. And the answer is not creating more laws in your heart. Not going from now onwards, I'm going to pray every day. From now onwards, I'm going to read my Bible every day. All those things are good. The answer to it is, anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That truth applies to you to the day that you got saved, but even after 16, 17 years of working with the Lord, if you're calling out on His name, you will be saved. Amen? So, as I was prepping, I was like, because Jesus, our joy, is it's such a broad sort of message that you can go into, you know? And I think when Anaya asked me, because I always ask her, just, can you help me sort of guide me through this? She said, what is the joy of the Lord truly for you? And for me, the true joy that I have is the gift of my salvation. I'm telling you, when you understand that truth, it doesn't matter what happens. Your joy is truly found in Him. I did a little bit of research, and I read about like just people who wrote hymns. I don't know if you guys, I can't even remember his name, but the guy that wrote It Is Well. Everybody know that song? That hymn? It is well. So, yeah. And the other one is Blessed Assurance. I think I want to focus on Blessed Assurance because, okay, both. It Is Well, the guy basically gets married, loses his business. He's like this multimillionaire and loses everything. Business gets burnt down. And then, but he's serving the Lord faithfully, loves God. And from there, everything gets burnt up and he decides, okay, he's going to be obedient to the call of the Lord. He's going to move over to England, preach on that side. So he closes up everything on this side. And while he's closing up everything on this side, he sends his family, which is his wife and his four daughters, over to England. And so while he's closing up, 2 weeks later, he gets this letter and the letter's written by his wife. And he says, I think his name is David, says, David, just want you to know I'm completely on my own over here. About a week ago, we got caught up in a storm. All four of our kids are gone. All died. And so he lost his business and he lost all four of his kids. And then he comes over to his wife. And as he crosses this one section, the captain knows that he's a pastor. So the captain comes down humbly and says, hey, like the section that we're about to cross now is actually where your daughters died. So, and that is where he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. He looks down at the sea and he just realizes, like, God, they are gone to be with you in eternity. And he writes that song, It Is Well With My Soul. Crazy thing is, years later, he gets a boy, 6 years old, the boy dies as well. Then his wife dies. And it's like, you, God, like, how much more can this guy endure? And that song we sing today was written by a man that lost almost everything. And that is the joy of our salvation. That through anything and everything that happens, we've got this assurance. I know with all my heart that if my wife passes on, if my mom passes on, if my kid passes on, there's this assurance within my heart that, Lord, they've gone to be with you. And to have that within your heart, like, you just can't focus in this day and age on this lifetime. That's the whole Christmas message. It's, yes, a Savior that is coming to give us eternity. Please don't get caught up in petty things of this world. Don't fight with the family and fight with your neighbor and fight with your friend. This is our opportunity to bring this glad tidings to everybody. To go like, you know what, rather smack me on my left cheek and my right cheek, but somehow I'm going to let you know that there's a bigger picture, that there's a Jesus and a Savior that we serve, and that He longs for all people to get saved. Amen. She's come to the end of my preach. Where's Enrico? John, so the prophetic word goes and it says in Isaiah that the son will be born and his name will be Emmanuel. And Emmanuel really means God with us. And again, we've been reminded about that. And so for me, this is almost like one of the most important things. Yes, our sins have been forgiven. I think the Sadducees also realized that. But Emmanuel, God forever with us, that really sets our relationship apart from any other religion. That we have God that will never, ever leave us, never, ever forsake us. That is with us even right now as we're sitting over here among us, in our hearts. So much so that he became excited when they told the disciples, listen, I've got to depart. And so please understand their hearts in John chapter 16. I'm just going to read it quickly and almost hear the cry of the heart of the disciples because they knew like God was with him. They were like, your restoration has come finally. And in the middle of the restoration period, Jesus sit down with him and he gives him this message and he says to them, a little while and you will see me no longer. And a little while again, you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what is he saying? A little while you will see me, and then you will not see me, and then again you will see me. And then he says, because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does this mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is what you are asking yourselves what I mean by saying a little while and you will see me and again a little while you will see me not? Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world they will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she delivered that baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy of the human being that has been born into this world. So you also will have sorrow for now, but I will see you again. Isn't that amazing? And your hearts will rejoice, and you and no one will take your joy from you. Man, disciples are wondering, they're like, God, like, we thought this was it. We thought that we've now finally come into a place of restoration. It's like, finally, Jesus, I've just finally come to this place where I'm walking with you and I'm living for you. And oh, God, and now you're telling me that you're going to leave. And the cry of their heart is like, please, Jesus, like, don't go. But then he gives him this promise and he says, man, I'm going to come back again. And you know, he doesn't leave us alone. He gives us his Holy Spirit, his very Holy Spirit. That's what the prophets were even excited about. You see, they knew Jesus through this. But we as believers, we've got the very Spirit of God inside of us. You know what that means? It means intimate fellowship daily. You want to know God? Ask the Spirit. You want to know what His plans for you is? Ask the Spirit. You want to be led by God? Ask the Spirit. You can't overcome sin? Ask the Spirit. Because He was given through Jesus Christ. The reason why we're here today, we could have been out on the beach, we could have been doing whatever. No, we are Spirit-led people. We are completely subdued and completely surrendered to Him. And I wouldn't exchange it for anything in this world. I love the presence of God. There is nothing like it. I was single and I thought when marriage comes that is going to be the highlight of life. There is nothing like the Spirit of God. He is sweet. He is good. He is powerful. And He was given through a Savior, Jesus Christ. And He did it because He knew that in your heart you longed to serve Him. You longed to have Him. But it was impossible to do it in your own strength. But the good news is you don't have to do it in your own strength. Our Savior has come. He's here for the forgiveness of all of our sin. And to those who call upon His name, they will be saved. And my heart gets overwhelmed daily because I think about this truth. What did I deserve to have Jesus rescue me? I look at my colleagues at work and I think, God, like, anything can happen to those guys, and they don't know you. For some reason, Jesus, you found me fit to call me into your kingdom. And I want to say, if you've forgotten that joy to be saved, that your circumstances is pressing you down and you've allowed those things to knock you out, like, man, you've forgotten about this gift. The gift where God went, this world needs a Savior. And His name is Jesus. And so to us, the Son is born. And His name will be called Emmanuel. God forever with us. Let's close in prayer quickly. Father, I want to thank you that there's not one person that is not important to your King. You know, Lord Jesus, the hearts and the minds of every person, King. And sometimes, Lord, we get so overwhelmed with things of this world, Lord, and concerned about petty things, where we forget the biggest, most beautiful gift that was ever given to mankind was found through the person Jesus Christ. And today, Lord, I pray that our joy would be full. That we'd be full as we leave over here, because this truth has been brought to us so that we can remember that our sins are forgiven. That we got a God that is not only for us, but is with us so close that He's living inside of us. And that one day we'll have eternity with you. That our sorrow will be turned into joy. That our tears will become gladness, God. Because all the pain that we're facing right now, Lord, is nothing in comparison to the joy that we'll have with you into eternity, Lord. I'm excited to be seated at your right hand, having fellowship with you forevermore, God. And I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that even for us over here, believers, God, That truth, Lord Jesus, would be the joy of why we wake up, God. The joy of why we want to serve you and give our lives to you, Lord. Because 70, 80, 90 years is nothing on this earth comparison into eternity with you, Lord. You are good God. And you're sweeter than honey. And we love you, Jesus. And I want to pray, God, for anybody that's feeling alone, that they would know they're not on their own. Emmanuel, God is with us.